With that said, I'm going to dive into the Word and take us to part four in our current message series. You guys ready to do that this morning? All right. My name is Caleb, by the way. For those of you that don't know me, I'm the lead pastor here together with Rachel at New Life Church, and we are having fun. God is good. It is a fun thing to serve the Lord, and it is exciting. The days that we're living in are exciting. I don't know if you all saw that tonight is going to be a blood moon. It's the first time in 33 years it's going to be one of these huge super moons that's also completely eclipsed. That should be happening like around sunset tonight. And I know there's all kinds of news articles, right after sunset when the moon rises, you're going to see that happening. I know there's all kinds of news articles and all kinds of prognostications about that. And I kind of don't mind all that stuff because I love it when we think about the coming of the Lord. But in Joel chapter 2, it talks about the sun being darkened and the moon turning to blood before the great and awesome day of the Lord. And it says, whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And when I think about things like this going on in the heavens, it stirs up my heart to say, Lord, give us a harvest in this nation. Give us a harvest in this community. Let everybody who calls on the name of the Lord be saved, delivered, set free, made whole, come to know Jesus. And it just stirs up my heart. And I hope it stirs up your heart to reach people all around us all the time. So, and I hope you go out and see it tonight because I think it's going to be pretty special too. So, ladies, while the moon is rising, you'll still be able to see. I think it's not going to be really that red tone until 8 or 9. But you all are going to be having an event called Radiant in here in the sanctuary. And it's a women's night for ladies of all ages. We want you to wear white or something with white on it. It doesn't have to be like all white. But what's that, Rich? White or bright because of the kind of a fun thing they're going to be doing this evening. And even though it's after Labor Day, you can wear white pants or whatever. It's all good for this special event. I don't even know what that's all about on the West Coast, but we're all scared to wear white after Labor Day. So I'm going to go ahead and stop the commercial announcements and dive into this message. We're going to have limited time today, so pray for me to be able to communicate with you while I pray for the message, okay? Father, this morning, we thank you so much for your word. We thank you for each one of these children presented to you this morning. And as we journey into the next part of this series, Foolproof, Lord, we thank you that you're giving wisdom and downloading wisdom to us in this day. Lord, we're grateful, Lord, that you never leave us or forsake us, that in every season you release provision for that season that causes us to thrive and excel and prosper, Lord, in every area of life. And we're grateful for overflow. We're grateful for more than enough. You are El Shaddai, the one who gives us all that we need, including wisdom. So help us this morning as we continue to journey in this next part. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. All right, so we've been looking at various fools in Proverbs. There's a whole bunch of places where you see it translated to the English word fool and the Hebrew word is something else. It's four or five of those in Proverbs. There's one in the New Testament as well. And we're looking at the different elements of that because we're wanting to learn a little bit about what not to do. And we've looked at, you know, the simple fool who doesn't want to mature. And we've looked at the silly fool who talk themselves out of the right thing and into the wrong thing. And they just trample wisdom underfoot. Last week we talked about the sensual fool and somebody whose God is their belly and who loves pleasure rather than loving God. And they set their affections on things. And we learned that, you know what, our affections affect us. Saul pitched his tent towards Sodom, which was an evil place. And even though he was a righteous man, his life was focused on something unrighteous. And what happened is what he loved brought influence on his life. He ended up living there, not just there, but under oppression there. And so it was a real lesson for us about, you know, what we love really affects us. And that's what circles us back to how important it is to be true worshipers, people that really love the Lord. Because when we love Him, what happens is, rather than a spirit of foolishness coming on our life, a spirit of wisdom comes on our life. We actually thrive. We are activated in what we were created to be. We grow into what we were created to do. We begin to excel. A spirit of excellence begins to permeate our lives. And that really happens, honestly, when we love God. And that's one of the big deals. One of our growth steps as a church, the number one thing we talk about, love God, grow together, serve others. But the first one is love God, because there's something so primary about loving God that aligns everything with Him. It aligns everything in our hearts with who we're called to be. And we can never get away from that. Can you say amen? So in looking at wisdom, we know that it's the skill to live life according to God's plan, but it's also a God-given ability to thrive and excel by implementing the solutions He gives us and creativity. And Rachel's going to close the service here, or close the message time a little bit with something the Lord actually put on her heart today, not knowing exactly what I was going to be sharing about. But some of the things we've learned about wisdom so far. So we're learning like what not to do, but we're also learning we've got to grow in wisdom. Jesus grew in wisdom and in favor with God and men. And if there was ever a time that we needed wisdom, it is right now. Like, there's more information available at our fingertips on our smartphones than ever before, right? But smartphones are not making people smarter, at least not morally smarter necessarily. Just having access to the world at your fingertips and information at your fingertips doesn't mean that we're walking in wisdom. Just being able to Google something doesn't mean that I'm actually growing in solutions that come from above. Now, I'm grateful for information. I'm grateful for the age we live in. It's awesome to be connected and all that. But we need more than information in the information age. We need wisdom in the information age. And to walk in wisdom, just real quick, kind of review, kind of adding some things in, we need to remember, first of all, to stay connected to the source, who's Jesus. Worship needs to be so primary in our lives for reasons we just said a moment ago. We need to learn to continually welcome wisdom and invite wisdom into our lives. The fact that Solomon, that's point number two, the fact that Solomon invited wisdom into his life greatly pleased the Lord. The Lord, the Bible says in Proverbs 2:7, He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He's got this entire store of wisdom that He wants to pour out on you right now. It's reserved for you. Waiting for you. It's an account specifically for you. And He's given you the pen. He's given you the password. He's given you the access code. He wants us to welcome wisdom in His life. And the third thing that I want to focus a little more on today is that we're called to partner with wisdom. What do I mean, partner with wisdom? Let me explain. Wisdom is heaven's solution. Heaven's solutions invading the earth's problems. That's really another definition of wisdom. We've talked about one definition being, you know, being able, the skill to live life according to God's plan. Here's another definition. Heaven's solutions invading earth's problems. Can y'all say yay? Okay, like, yay for that. It's heaven's design, heaven's order invading the chaos of the earth's environment and bringing the kingdom, bringing His glory. Walking in wisdom is actually partnering with that process, the process of heaven's solutions evading earth's problems, partnering with that. So what's invisible becomes visible. And as we look at wisdom today, I want you to understand, us all to understand, that wisdom comes with this incredible creativity. That the Creator Himself used wisdom when He made the world. And the Creator Himself gives us out of that same flow of wisdom when we come to Him and ask and welcome wisdom into our lives. One of the things we see about wisdom in Proverbs 24, verse 3, we see its creative power, that through wisdom the house was built. And that word for build actually is the word used first in the Bible where God took a rib from Adam and He made Eve. He took one kind of material and made it into something else. He took something that existed and created something else with it. He releases creative power into a situation, and it begins to teach us about so many things in our lives that God could take something and turn it into something else. That's what wisdom does. When we're talking about God working all things together for good, it doesn't just mean that God is kind of going to work it out and it's going to be okay. At least it means that. But it means more than that. It means He takes what's going on in the circumstance in our life, with the difficulty, with the challenge, He takes the material He's got to work with there, and He turns it into something else, and we walk out of that situation having received something of God's wisdom, having God created something new that wasn't there before. that's a lot better than is this going to all kind of pan out. That's walking away with something in God that we didn't have before. It's the rich, rich blessing of the Lord. So the elements of order and design and creativity and building, they're always connected to wisdom. And foolishness has the opposite effect. It tears down all things good and all things beautiful in our lives and in our world. Foolishness really does that. And if we would just remember that when we're about to make a foolish choice, that even though I want to do this right now, it's going to tear down all things good and beautiful in my life. We'll step back and just remember for a moment, foolishness tears down and wisdom builds up. It'd be a good reminder. Now, sometimes people, you know, sometimes wisdom actually looks a little bit foolish. And sometimes foolishness actually looks like wisdom. I talk to people all the time that say the most foolish things, and talk about how that is really wisdom and it's logical. Don't have time to get into tons of examples about that right now, but I could go all day with that. And we need to understand that we really have to judge a tree by its fruit. How do you know if it's foolish or wisdom? How do you know the difference? Wisdom builds up. It's going to have fruit of something being built up that is beautiful, something being built up that is good. The Bible says in James 3:17, the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits. And it goes on. So what I'd like you to do this morning, turn to Proverbs 8 with me. I want you to see the creative power of wisdom in Proverbs 8. Proverbs 8 is a proverb that personifies wisdom. And wisdom kind of introduces herself in the beginning, and then the whole chapter is just about where she was and where she came from and how she created the world and her partnership with the Lord and all these different things. We don't have time to read the whole thing, but I do recommend you read it when you get a chance. But I'm going to read the first few verses here, and then I'm going to highlight one of the verses later on in the chapter. It says in verse 1, "Does not wisdom cry out and understanding lift up her voice? She takes her stand on the top of the high hill, beside the way where the paths meet. She cries out by the gates at the entry of the city, at the entrance of the doors. To you, O men, I call, and my voice is to the sons of men. O you simple ones, understand prudence, and you fools, be of an understanding heart. Listen, for I will speak of excellent things." And it continues. But we see wisdom standing in this high place, inviting all of us to come, inviting everybody that would listen to come and hear. And it goes on. It says in verse 12, "I, wisdom, dwell with prudence." Actually, let me read verse 11. "For wisdom is better than rubies, and all the things one may desire cannot be compared with her." Basically, it's saying this. People want gold, silver, wealth, money, and those kinds of things. What this chapter is saying, if you have wisdom, you have the power to actually get that stuff. If you just have the stuff, you don't know where it came from, and where it's going, how to manage it, how to make wise choices, and those kinds of things. It's saying, look, don't pursue the things, pursue wisdom. That's what Solomon did. He didn't ask for long life. He didn't ask for the life of his enemies. He didn't ask to be rich. He didn't ask for all these different things. He just asked for a wise and understanding heart. You go down to verse 22, and I want you to see where wisdom was when the Lord created the world. Verse 22, "The Lord possessed me at the beginning of his way, before his works of old. I have been established from everlasting, from the beginning." So there's an eternal quality to wisdom. "Before there was ever an earth. When there were no depths, I was brought forth, and when there was no fountains abounding with water. Before the mountains were settled, before the hills, I was brought forth. While as yet he had not made the earth, or the fields, or the primal dust of the world." Before he even made the dust that he made the world out of. "When he prepared the heavens, I was there. When he drew a circle on the face of the deep, when he established the clouds above, when he strengthened the fountains of the deep, when he assigned to the sea its limit so that the water could not transgress his command, when he marked out the foundations of the earth." Verse 30, "Then I was beside him as a master craftsman, and I was daily his delight, rejoicing always before him." So we have this picture here. Wisdom is not this dry, stale, bummer, oh, is that really wisdom? And it's actually just like somebody saying, that sounds a little bit risky. Sometimes people give wisdom a really bad rap. It sounds like it's boring. Look at wisdom. Rejoicing. Creating. The delight and joy of God's heart. A master craftsman. This is saying something so profound, church. This is saying that wisdom was there in the very beginning beside the Lord as a companion of the Lord, as a master craftsman, which means a highly skilled architect. And an architect is somebody that's visionary, that sees the something before the something exists and creates a blueprint to build that thing. So through a step-by-step process, that can be built successfully. And it's like God, he's the master architect, and he loves to reveal his blueprints so that we can partner with him and see something created that wasn't there before. That's what this is saying. This is who the Lord is in our lives. This is really amazing when you think about it. The wisdom that was there when God made everything, he's saying, it's my incredible joy and delight to share that with you. I would like to introduce you to that wisdom. I'd like it to flow in your life. I'd like it to be abundant in your life. God's purpose is for incredible creativity with excellence to be flowing in us as people. So that when we face up to a problem and it's like we don't have an answer, or at least an adequate answer, it's not because one doesn't exist. We just haven't discovered it yet. And we come to God with this incredible sense of joy rather than saying, God, I don't know how I'm going to get out of this. This is terrible. Why did you make this happen? We begin to change our approach when we understand how generous and how joyful and how abundant God is with his wisdom. We start to come before him and say, Lord, I don't see it yet, but I'm so excited to discover what you have for us in this situation right here and right now. And we begin to posture our hearts to receive rather than just assume that it's over and there's no answer and we just get bitter and grumpy and depressed and having a bad day, generally speaking. Okay? So the architect of the universe loves to share his blueprints with us. And that's a sweet thing. He's just as creative now as he was when he made the world. You're like, well, I've never seen an answer to this problem I have before. It's okay. God will make one. He's got one already reserved. He'll make one up for you right now. He's got one already on his heart. Now, with all of that said, for time's sake, I can't go into this too much, but I want to just say that when the first reference for somebody being filled with the Holy Spirit in the Bible said they were, the next thing it says is they were filled with wisdom. The first thing it lists in the gifts of the Holy Spirit in 1 Corinthians 12 is the gift of wisdom, the word of wisdom specifically. When they were seeking deacons that could lead the church, they needed to be filled with the Holy Spirit and faith and wisdom. Sometimes we're looking at wisdom and we're like, I want the power stuff. And don't get me wrong, I really want the power stuff too. But we have this mindset like there's power people and Holy Spirit people. And then there's like wise people. And the wise people are like the boring ones. And then these people over here, they're like the fun ones. This is the fun side of the island. This is the boring side of the island. And we need to understand something. There's not a dichotomy. That's a false dichotomy between power and wisdom. If we would really look at the scripture, we'd understand it's kind of more like this. Show me your spirit-filled life without your wisdom, and I will show you my spirit-filled life by my wisdom. Because it's the same spirit. The same spirit that does miracles is the one who gives wisdom and solutions through our lives. And we need both. We need both. We need both. We need both. We do. So don't be, if you're like a little bit more of a logical, your wiring is more like, you know, more naturally inclined towards being thoughtful and that kind of thing, don't think of that as a bad thing. And don't cut yourself off from saying, hey, God isn't really going to use me in the other way. No. He's going to use you in the other ways. Look at the Apostle Paul. Paul he's extremely intellectual, probably a genius, very, very intense. But he is a lawyer. He is a lawyer's lawyer. He can prosecute anything and anybody and win anytime. He's extremely bright. And then God gets a hold of his life and it's just supernatural. That he gets a baptized brain. Now all of that creativity and intelligence comes under the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And that's an awesome thing right there. That's an awesome thing. Listen, if you're one of the people that like to be more free and spirit-filled and encounter God, that is wonderful. You know, these people over here, they need that too. But don't be like, you know, the wisdom stuff, the solutions, the all that, that's, I don't know. I just wanted to like just go with the flow. I like go with the flow people. I can be a little bit like that. But listen, God actually wants to give you blueprints and downloads and strategies that cause you to thrive. So let's get rid of the dichotomy and rise up into oneness with these two things. Can you say amen? Okay. I'm going as quick as I can. All that brings us to the fourth full I want to talk to you about today. Keep in mind the resource that heaven has for us, for those of us that'll just ask. And that is set in contrast with this one I'd like to introduce to you in Matthew 7, verse 24. Jesus has just taught the whole Sermon on the Mount. He's wrapping it up. By the way, the Sermon on the Mount probably was over a couple of days, or not necessarily all in one sitting, but it says this: therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. So we see the wise man is one who hears and does the word. It's like building on a rock. Everyone who hears the sayings of mine and does not do them, verse 26, will be like a foolish man who builds his house on the sand. Who would ever do that? That's Jesus' point right here. A foolish man would. Who builds his house on the sand. Maybe not literally. Most people would never do that literally, but they would do it spiritually. And he's saying, you're doing it spiritually if you hear my word and don't do it. And the rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell, and great was its fall. Check it out. Whether wise or foolish, the same exact storm still came and beat on their houses. Being wise doesn't mean you don't face stuff. Doesn't mean you don't go through trouble. Doesn't mean you don't go through trials. Doesn't mean you don't go through times where you feel like you're stretched beyond your limits. But it means that you've been founded on the rock so that the house is not going to fall. As opposed to the fool that faces the exact same things. Here's the deal. Like, I want to say this in a thoughtful way, and I'm going fast, and sometimes when I go fast, I'm not thoughtful. But sometimes we get trapped in our hearts. We think that nobody else has ever gone through what we're going through. And I'll tell you right now, other people that you might look at sometime and think, wow, I wish I had it like that. I wish I had the kind of money they had and the kind of situation they had and the job they had and the family they had or whatever it is. We're looking at them thinking that it's all they got it all together. I want to tell you, that person probably has just as much pain in their life as you. And they're facing the same kinds of storms, beaten on their house in the same kind of way. But they're choosing every day, they're fighting every day to build their house on the rock. And they're fighting every day to look to Jesus in it. So what that invites all of us to do is, rather than think that we're alone, to begin to recognize we can make that same exact choice. Can you say amen? Now, let me just tell you about this fool. The Greek word for this fourth fool, and we're calling this fourth fool our stubborn fool. Why is he a stubborn fool? Because the stubborn fool, even though there is proven wisdom that it will not work to build your house on the sand, still builds his house on the sand. But it'll work for me. It's my truth. It's my business. Okay. Well, the Greek word transliterated into English is moros. And if you put on the N at the end, it's moron. That's the root of it. I'm just playing. But it's specifically this. Specifically, it's dull. This is a person that's dull because they've blocked off all of the access points. All of the access points for godly instruction have been, there's a barrier that's been put up there somehow. The access points of growth and learning and revelation have been blocked off some way. The actual the word really means, when you look at it, it means blockhead. Like, what a blockhead. And it's not like slang as much as we think it is. It's not just like, oh, that's, they used to call each other blockhead, and that was like an insult. It's not so much in an insulting way, but I want you to see it a little bit differently. Not like, you know, they're so, not just that they're stubborn. Maybe. Yeah, that definitely. But also, in their stubbornness, they have a blocked head. Like, they've hit this block, and because of that block, which is by choice initially, but eventually they don't realize they're doing it, in that block, they become oblivious to what's important. They get obsessed with pursuing the unimportant. They get absurd, wildly unreasonable, illogical, inappropriate in how they're, in choices that they're making, decisions that they're making. That's why somebody, I mean, nobody would build their house on sand, right? Nobody would do that unless you just were totally oblivious to what you were doing, really. You don't get there one, no good contractor or builder wakes up and goes, you know what, I think I just want to try something new. I know a long time ago we've been building on foundations for a long time, but I'm just tired of that. Let's just build on straight on the dirt and see what happens. You wouldn't do that unless something was wrong. But here's what happens to us spiritually speaking. When this is a person that is totally closed and unteachable, even though they have access to wisdom, and wisdom at one time maybe had access to them, they have put up roadblocks and dams to that river of wisdom so it cannot flow into their spirit, into their mind. This is a stubborn, unteachable fool. But here's the thing. What starts off as being a little bit stubborn, the scripture says that we can harden our hearts, but eventually we just kind of have a hard heart that's incapable of responding. And we need to be careful that we don't get to a place where we're so stubborn that it just becomes our identity. To stay in that place of connection to Jesus. This is a stubborn foolishness. Foolishness that persists, even though a more excellent way is demonstrated. And it's unnecessary. That's kind of my point this morning. Because rather than receiving amazing solutions from the Lord, this particular fool defaults into the unfruitful and worldly methods for dealing with things that actually only make things worse in their life. Nothing really is getting through. This creative flow that we have access to, it's not coming in. This particular fool thinks he has everything that's needed, has need of nothing. I know all that I need to know. I've learned all that I need to learn. And you can't tell him otherwise. Now, I'm talking about that right now. Some of you guys are like, man, I know a person just like that. You're picturing them right now. You're like, I'm going to send them the link to this podcast. I'm going to buy this. We don't even sell CDs or whatever, but I'm going to get them this message. Like, send them the link to the YouTube message, and I'm going to queue it up even right to that one part. Now you can do that. You can send it so it's like at minute 46 and you send it. And sometimes we can be like that. It's someone else. It's another problem, another crisis, some drama somewhere. But the thing about reaching this point, none of us, I think this is a pretty extreme situation that we're looking at here, but none of us has reached that point overnight. It's incremental things. And when we finally reach that point, we don't know that we're there. We don't know. We've lost perspective, lost our way a bit. And I'd like to invite you to do something the disciples did on the night Jesus was betrayed. Rather than thinking of that other person and getting ready to text them my message and the verses and all that kind of stuff, and maybe they need it really, but still, instead of doing that, maybe ask the question, is it I, Lord? Is it me? Because what this person has stopped doing is something that we all need to be doing every day, opening our spirits to God and saying, God, thank you that you give me this day my daily bread. You have something new for me today, new mercies, a fresh word. Help me to grow. Help me to learn. Correct me. Teach me. Grow me. Help me to thrive. This person has stopped having that kind of an attitude and therefore shut themselves off to the new and creative solutions God wants to give them. And he's doing that. He wants to give it, but it's just bouncing off. It's not getting through. It's like blockhead. It's blocked, a blocked head. But we can ask, and God who gives the spirit of wisdom and revelation can flood in and not only help us see where we've been stuck, that's just the beginning, but help us to recognize Jesus and his provision and his creative solutions, and a shift happens, and then there's a suddenly moment that comes, and all of a sudden another kingdom, another influence is invading our hearts, invading our minds, and we're starting to get clarity and starting to see things and getting creative solutions to something we didn't think there would be a fix to. Because we've opened up our hearts again. And my cry to you, my appeal to you today is if you feel like personally, maybe you're in this place a little bit, like where you've really kind of gotten closed off, and I'm being silly a little while ago about moron and all that kind of thing. I wouldn't call anybody that. I wouldn't say that to anybody. But you feel like somehow maybe you've closed yourself off, and we're trying to like look at the extreme and then say, well, maybe I'm on the path because I've gotten a little closed in this area. Maybe you've closed because you've gotten hurt or you got offended or you've got some sort of fear going on in your life. There's lots of reasons we close off. They're never just simple reasons. No blanket answer. But for whatever reason, you did. My appeal to you today is to say, you know what? I'm going to come back to the place of recognizing that Jesus is enough for my life. I can trust him. He's got my back. He's never going to leave me or forsake me. And I can invite him into this area. I can be vulnerable. I can step back and say these very powerful words. I don't know. Whew. Man, there's a couple of people that you must know. Look, here's the thing. Sometimes we're so afraid of simply saying, I don't know. I don't know. But the moment you say that to the Lord, he doesn't expect us to know everything. He's the creator. You're no less valuable when you don't know. You're no less valuable when you don't have it all right. The kingdom is a safe place to say, I don't know, but I'd like to know and I want to learn. My heart's wide open, Lord. Teach me your ways and I will walk in your paths. There's something so healthy about saying, just say it with me, just come on, I don't know. Say it again one more time. One of the kings, I forget his name offhand, somebody will probably shout it out to me in a second, but he prayed this prayer when they're going into battle. Lord, I don't know what to do, but my eyes are on you. I don't know, but you know. And it's this thing that the shift happens in our heart when we finally come to that point of surrender. I'm not holding on to control in this area anymore. And I'm gonna say, Lord, I don't know. It opens up the floodgates, friends, for the wisdom of the Lord to begin to come in. Can you say amen? That's what he has for us. Some of you haven't felt like you had permission to do that. I want to let you know you have permission to do that. Sometimes saying you don't know is the beginning of the journey to actually knowing. As long as you say you know, well, you're not going to know as you ought to know. That's a Bible verse, by the way. All right, so it's a paraphrase, but that's a biblical truth. As long as we act like we have it all figured out, we're closed. The pathways of revelation are closed, blocked, and gated. Now, for some of you others, I'm going to ask Pastor Rachel to come right now. Some of you others, I think all of us can relate to this. in big or small areas of our lives, but you feel like you're blocked somehow. And I feel like the Lord is doing something really, really special in this season, and in our environment, in our house, and in the lives of this congregation, where He's opening up a door to get through those places where we're blocked. And Rachel's going to lead us to a response time. Worship team, would you come too? And Rach. I usually do this for her. She comes up and she says, Caleb's going to come and close the service. Now we're going to switch places here. So.
Well, you know, yesterday as I was, well, you don't know, but now you will know, I was traveling down to Dublin early in the morning for a soccer tournament, just spending time worshiping the Lord in the car and praying, Lord, what do you have? And suddenly I feel like the Lord dropped something in my spirit for our church. And so this morning in the beginning service, we didn't have the baby dedication, so I was able in the prayer time to share this word. And it was pretty amazing because Caleb and I didn't even actually get really home till 9 o'clock last night. We haven't talked about anything. And so in the morning, I gave this word in the first service, in the beginning of the service, before he preached. And it goes right along with the message. And so I just want to say that this is the Holy Spirit, you know, how he does. He brings confirmation. And what the Lord put in my heart to share is that he wants to remove the limitations and the caps that have been on our lives in a real way. And I feel like some of us, we've attained to what like our forefathers have walked in, or our parents, our grandparents, and we're identifying and comparing ourselves and saying, hey, I'm doing pretty good. Or maybe we've advanced what they've walked in. And Jesus wants to remind us that he is the pattern son, that he's the one that we are to like compare and put our lives up next to and say, this is the fullness. And he has more for us. And he told me it's time to get back to the future. And he's going to take us back. For some of us, that goes all the way back to when he first called us, when he first spoke to us. And so he can launch us into the future. And he took me to Genesis, and he showed me again how Adam, there's this incredible creativity going on. Hello, everything was being formed. I mean, the world, just everything, the animals all formed. But then what he did is he brought all those animals to Adam, and he says, now I want you to release something I put in you. It's called creativity. I want you to name all these animals. He's like, I want something of reflection of my heart. And so I want to tell you guys that God is really speaking to us that he wants to put a new level of creativity in his people. He wants to raise the ceiling in your life. Some of us, it's glass ceilings. We've instituted it. We put it there. Some of us, it's things that have been spoken to us, or we've looked at models. We looked at those who are great in the kingdom, and we think, oh, I'll be like them, and say, no, Jesus is raising the standard. He said, no, you got to be like me. Wow. And so he's releasing to us the provision to come into the next level, the next layer, the next step up. And so what I'm going to do this morning again is like, if there's anybody here, you can all stand on your feet this, you know, today and as we go into this worship time. But if there's anybody here that is in the worship team, either, you know, on Sunday mornings in our youth worship team, there was quite a few this in the early service. I'm not sure how many will be here right now, but if you could come forward, because I believe God wants to release something fresh in our worship team. Like this is, specifically God told me this is going to be like a sign, like an example of that it's not ending here. It's just that he's going to use these guys as an example of what he's taking us to in this level of creativity. Don't be shy. You guys all huddle together. Look at you. But it's so powerful what God wants to do. And we want to pray into this. Can you pray with me this morning and agree with me? Lord, our hearts connect with your heart this morning. And right now, God, I loose the spirit of creativity to come upon your people for masterwork, for that which excels above anything that's been seen before or known before. Lord, I pray for thoughts right now to flood into this congregation, for everyone standing here, that you would give business plans and you would give creativity when it comes to solutions and marriages and raising children. And Lord, that you would just begin to flow thoughts that we even didn't think we could have. Lord, that would begin to be conceived in us, in our hearts and in our minds. Lord, I pray for new songs to be released, that you would release creativity on our worship team. Lord, on those that play instruments, Lord, new rhythms, new beats. It doesn't matter, God. You are the creator of all things and the sustainer of all creation. And Lord, we loose that same spirit into your people this morning to send a reviving and a refreshing and even something new. And I pray that this would go beyond what's been modeled. This goes beyond who our favorite worship leaders are in this world, Lord. It goes beyond the examples laid before us, but that we would turn to you and in our connection with you, as Adam was with you in the garden, our connection with you would be that point of release of creativity. That intimacy with you would be a release of another level. Lord, give us new names for things. Give us new words, even in our songs. And I just see that flow. And you know, as I pray, and you know, Caleb shared too in the service, that new song for this season. And some of us, it will be new songs, even if you're not a worship leader, even if you're not a player of instruments. Some of you in your house, you're going to start singing new songs out to the Lord. This is going to be creativity that flows. I see people in their kitchen cooking and singing out to the Lord. Some of us, it's just more than a song. It's God's just saying, I'm releasing a flow of creativity. The song represents a flow of creativity, and that's going to come. I see God giving real business plans to people, and it's like a flow, a stream. It's not just a one deposit, but there's like a continual flow. Just as a song will have multiple layers to it, God's saying, I'm able to give you multiple layers even. I'm able to give you more than you have thought in the past. And so, Lord, we lift up our hands to you this morning, and we want to receive what you have. And I pray right now that you would break the limitations off your people, that you'd break the ceiling that's been there, and you would uncap. Lord, you would take us back to where you first spoke to us, Lord, and then launch us into our future. I lose the intimacy of the Lord, even in this time. In your name I pray. God bless you. Amen.